This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2023, held at Pleasant View School in Arcola, Illinois, on March 3 and 4.
All right. Well, good morning to each one of you. There are handouts coming your way, if that might kind of keep us together here this morning. So make sure you get one. If you don't have one and the ushers missed seeing you, just get your hand up, elbow above the ears, and they will be happy to help you with that. True or false? Teachers are difficult to find. True, false. How do you say that's a false statement? How many say that's a true statement? I knew that. So I think we've all been in situations where we really needed a teacher. And every year I hear stories from board members. Last year, I think the top, I usually get some numbers coming my way, and last year I think the top one was 57 teachers that they tried before they found one. And by then, it was looking for living, breathing, moving human beings. That was it. Not conducive to a good quality education necessarily, and I'm sure the Lord blessed it, but it's a little bit like playing the lottery probably, right, at that point? Sometimes you find a teacher the last moment, and I'm starting this way because I think it has something to do with when we have teachers that need to grow and have issues need to be worked on. And I think in general terms, what I find is that we're hesitant to move into those areas because up ahead of us, we see the work it will take to potentially replace this person. And I think that's a little bit in our DNA as Amish and Mennonite schools. Like, just nobody really likes to go find teachers, actually. Actually, employers don't really care to find people to replace or to add to their group of employees. It's hard to find people, the right people. So once you have them, you sort of want to hang on to them at all costs, and sometimes at too high a cost. We all have heard this and know this, that teachers are essential to the classroom. Right? And so that is why 70 to 80% of your budget goes into salaries. If it's not there, you need to evaluate your school a little bit. Because teachers are that important. They are the backbone of your school. And so a high percentage goes into salaries because people are the most important part of our schools. When teachers are doing well, the classroom just works. Board members enjoy their work more, right? When things are working well, teachers are doing their job, it's going well, there aren't relational stresses and difficulties, we enjoy our work. But the difficult times on our boards are when teachers or principals are not functioning well and have issues that are affecting the classroom, that will affect the lives of children, that ultimately will affect the church. And so it is important, I think, to look at this subject of addressing teacher deficiencies. This really is part two. My session yesterday was sort of laying the groundwork. Today it's, well, now what if it's not working out as well? And I want to start here by saying this, that the work of teaching is a redemptive work. It is partnering with God and His kingdom in training young people. And that process of training is redemptive work. It's making things right again. It's helping children see who they really are. It's helping them see the kingdom well. It's a redemptive work. It's a personal work. And so we are talking about addressing teacher deficiencies. I hope you bear in mind that I'm pro-redemptive paths forward. This is not a session on how to fire somebody. Okay? That sometimes we need to let a teacher go. But my goal is a redemptive process by which we discern what is best. I'd also say here that none of us likes to address people problems. I should say none of us. Some of us relish that. Some of you actually, I was talking to a number of you yesterday, but one of you, I just said, well, it's like this, a leader once said, you know, to be a leader, you have to be able to enjoy and eat problems for breakfast, lunch, and supper. It's kind of true. But we don't really like to address problems. You see, teaching is very personal. When I sit down, now let me just make sure all masks are off here. When I sit down, I will think about the 20 things I should have said and the 54 things I said wrong, give or take. And I will second guess what I've just said. Did they interpret that well? Did I state that right? What if that meant this to that person in their situation? I wasn't even thinking about that when I prepared. And you go in circles because when I'm presenting, it's personal. Correct? It's personal. Teaching is incredibly personal. It is life on life. And when we're not doing well in the classroom and we need help, well, that's really personal. And addressing personal issues is not most people's definition of enjoyment and fun. And so, with that though, I would just say that not addressing problems or issues is not an option. We owe it to our people. You see, just like employees want to know where they stand with their employer, so teachers want to know where they stand with their school board. How are we doing? And by the way, most teachers, at least teachers who are in it for the long haul, are not all that interested in, yeah, you're doing fine. I don't know what fine means. Am I doing kind of okay? That means I'm doing okay. And you better up your game. Or, yeah, no one's complaining, so everything's good. Or does fine mean, well, we hope in the near future you get your act together. We're okay with it right now yet. Or does it mean, doing great? How do I know? You see, there is this little piece of us, because it's personal, we actually do want to know where we're at, where we stand. And so I say all that sort of an introduction, wanting us to just think about the nature of teaching and how that it's a deal. It's something. And it's not easy. I like to begin with some principles of working with difficult situations. And I'm going to plow into this and try to keep it practical. I've tried to give you adequate notes where you can kind of get the skeleton of this session. I will start with this. Leaving things alone does not make problems go away. Oh, I suppose 1 out of 1,000 times that's probably works itself out. Typically, what we want to do when we have a problem, when there is something going on, when a teacher is not doing all that well, we'll just sort of give it time. And then we'll talk about at the next board meeting, and well, that's not going very well here. What are we going to do? Well, maybe this month, because the program's over, then the teachers can focus again, and then we'll talk about it again. And then next month, we'll bring it up again. We'll talk about it. Now the program's over. But we're in January now, and it seems like we heard a couple complaints from parents. Well, let's wait and see whether more parents complain or not. February. You know what I mean? We sort of talk and talk and talk. But leaving things alone does not make the issue go away. Principle of working with difficult situations, I think we need to name the elephants in the room. There are elephants lurking in most places, most rooms. Recently at school, we did an exercise in which we asked staff to name all the elephants in the room they wanted to name. Now, they included things they just wanted on the table, and they admitted they were actually talked about. So that's really, an elephant is something that's not talked about, but everybody knows is there. And so that became a bit of a bloodletting, you know, I just let myself sort of put things out there, make sure the administration's thinking about these things. So we had a whole page, two columns. I think it was 28 or some elephants. So this next year, we're addressing all the elephants one way or the other. Because elephants stomp boards and teachers. When there are unnamed elephants, we run into troubles. When teachers aren't doing well, the truth is the students know it. The parents kind of know it. And the principal knows it. And the board knows it. And sometimes we can't name the problem, which means we can't actually work redemptively to grow this person. Everybody knows it's not going well, but nobody can talk about it. We have to name the issues, name the elephants. I just want to say here, too many times we put people in classes that should not be in the classroom. I hate to say that, but I think that's true. It's not fair to put teachers in impossible situations. If you have a group of 11 boys, 2 girls in 5th and 6th grade, and they've been a problem in your school, to hire an 18-year-old, August 14, to teach that group is not fair to that teacher. Does that make sense? You're putting a teacher in an impossible situation. They are bound to fail. They're bound to not work. Now, there are exceptions. I'm speaking broadly. Sometimes it's an issue of age. They're simply not ready. Sometimes their personality does not lend itself well. Sometimes it's competence. Sometimes it's a lack of discipline, personal discipline or classroom discipline. It's not working. But sometimes we actually know these things about a teacher and put them in that situation anyway. We will be in difficult situations if we do that. And I would ask us to be very careful with that process of who we hire, so we don't put teachers in impossible places. Too often, the last person to really hear about the problems in a classroom is the teacher. There's often discussion within the student body. Other teachers talk about it in hushed tones. Boards talk about it, like I was noting, you know, board meeting after board meeting. And yet few want to address the issue and figure out how to help this teacher. Because what it means is it means a difficult conversation. I have never enjoyed personnel problems. I've had plenty of them, it feels like, but I have never enjoyed them. So what are some principles of difficult conversations? So we're establishing that when we have a teacher who does need to be brought along, we need to start talking. What are some of those principles? Perhaps you heard about the husband who lacked some basic tact, and early one morning his wife left for a trip abroad, and that very day their beloved poodle died. And when she called home that evening, she asked how everything was, and he just blurted out, "Well, the dog died." And she was shocked, and she was crying, and she said, "You're so tactless, you're so strong, you don't think about me." And he said, "Well, help me. What should I have said?" "Well, you should have broken the news gently," she said. "Perhaps in stages. When I called you from New York here, what you could have said is, the dog is on the roof. And the next day when I called you from London, he fell off the roof. And the next day when I called you from Paris, you could have told me, well, he's at the vet's. He's in the hospital. And finally from Rome, maybe you could have said, the dog died." Husband thought about that a little bit. His wife asked, "Well, and by the way, forget about the dog. How is my mom?" "Ah, she's on the roof." That's not a very nice story. Is it? Do you see my point? I think it's helpful to be clear about what we're talking about. But we also need to bring it to people in a certain way. And I'd like to read just a few. I'm not going to read all of this, Ephesians 4, 1 to 6 and 4, 14 to 16, but I'll read this, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The sensitive nature of working with struggling teachers calls for grace and truth, but not going around the mulberry bush a number of times to get there. Grace and truth. Think about it as a bit of a seesaw. There's love and there's truth. And it's not either or. It's both and. We need both. And so, we tend toward one extreme or the other. And this is a place where I just want to say to board members and principals, know thyself. Some of you are very truth-oriented, and you have no problem seeing everything in black and white. And you can just say it the way it is. If that's you, thanks be to God that's your gifting, you might want to emphasize and think about the love side and how you're communicating and what the words you're going to use. You might even write it out ahead of time. And if you're one who has a hard time drawing any line anywhere, and it'll just be better tomorrow probably, and we'll just hope we can get through this kind of without ever saying what we need to say, you might want to work a little on the truth side. Okay, and all of us tend to be bent sort of towards one or the other. Know thyself. When we have difficult conversations, think about which you are. Truth without love does not reach the heart. It is very difficult to receive as a teacher when it's all truth, it's matter of fact, it's business. This is the problem. Here's the issues. We're going to fix this and move on. It's not a redemptive path. However, love without truth is mostly sentimentalism. If it's all just, you know, we got some problems we'll work on, and yeah, you know, we probably need to do some growing, and yeah, but we love having you in the classroom, and God bless you, and we'll stay in touch. That's mostly platitudes. That is not actually helpful. We need honesty with gentleness. If you as a board member hear something and it's a huge problem, do not speak if you are uptight. You will regret it, and you can actually wreck people this way. We are not bulldozers. We are carers of people. And so just honesty with gentleness. And teachers can handle that, typically. And if they can't, it might not be the right fit anyway. But honesty with a lot of gentleness really goes a long way. Clarity with compassion. If there's one thing I want you to take away here, I think, is clarity. What are we talking about? What is the problem? Can you put words to the issues? If you cannot, well, it's just a feeling I have. I just don't like her attitude. Time out. We're not clear about what we're talking about. We need clarity with a lot of compassion. I'll probably come back to clarity a number of times, but can you say what you mean by attitude? Well, it's kind of like she's arrogant and doesn't. Okay, so is arrogance the issue? Well, it's not really arrogance. It's okay, well, what is it? And we actually, as boards and principals, need to take that into the corner until we have something that we're very clear about. Teachers don't know what to do with vague things that I don't know what to do because I don't know what the problem is. I don't know how to move forward. They're stuck. And so I'd encourage us to get clear. Sometimes I'll say this, that I hear teachers talk about how that the body language and the words didn't make sense together. The words communicated one thing, the body language was quite another. They didn't know where they were at. So clarity really is a whole person thing, where we are settled in what we see, and we're settled on a path. And then I just want to say this. There is always more than meets the eye. And if you as board members can just remember that, there are things that take place and there are personal issues in teachers' lives, and maybe the uncle is in the hospital while the first cousin was just killed yesterday, and there's a struggle financially and the car broke down and it's just a really, really bad week. And sometimes it just helps us remember there's usually more going on than what we can see on the surface. So we seek to understand a person's perspective. It doesn't mean that we don't speak truth, but as part of the process of working with a teacher, we ask questions. We try to figure out what is going on, and we just recognize there's more going on here than probably most people realize. That doesn't mean it changes the path. It just means that we offer understanding, compassion, gentleness. What Paul calls for in speaking the truth in love is actually kind of hard, because it's tied into our own insecurities about loving people and not knowing how they will react to us. I'll leave that. So how can we help struggling teachers? First of all, I'm going to circle back. Identify the issues. Not all of them necessarily. Some of us, like yours truly, have so many problems, I don't know where you start. But why don't you pick out the top two or one, and let's work there. But we identify the issues, discern the most important ones. What's a foundational issue for this teacher is not doing well, not developing, not growing, and there's lots of complaints, and you're dealing with problems all the time. What are the issues? If we worked on this issue, it would solve about four others. Spend time thinking about what are the foundational issues. Identify the issues. Clarity about what is actually going on. Secondly, and I don't know, it depends on how you're structured. So I'll just say it this way. The board and principal should be together on the issues needing to be addressed. Okay, you cannot have the principal seeing it one way and the board another way. So probably in most of your schools, the board is hiring and firing, right? But the principal who's on site, he needs to understand what is going on. 5-second bunny trail, 10, 15 seconds. The principal should be in your board meetings, for almost all meetings. Thank you. Because that's the only way I know how to bring that together, how to get clarity together. How do we decide together what the issues are? Because the man on the ground in the school has to deal with this and is going to be one of the solutions to growing this teacher. It also gives you common language. I would encourage you to write a statement about what the issues are, not to email out so it can be forwarded to 25 people, but so the board itself and the principal understands what it is that we're dealing with, so we have common language. One person has one term for it, another person has another term for it. Pretty soon, the teacher feels like they don't know what the problem is. Okay, it happens. Helping struggling teachers means we're going to be direct and we're going to be kind about the issues. I already talked about that, but it does not help teachers to be indirect and to, here we go around the mulberry bush. Don't go there. It is just not helpful. They know there's something wrong. They just don't know who else knows it. You might as well come in and help them understand. Helping struggling teachers means we need a plan. We need to lay out a path forward. And so here are some elements of a plan that I think we should utilize when we are dealing with helping a teacher grow, trying to figure out, are they a fit? We're going to give them a path forward. We're not trying to get rid of them. We're trying to help them stay in the classroom if that's the right place. And so, first of all, we're going to be clear about who is responsible to carry out this plan. Who? Well, the board. I'm saying, who? Well, it's either the chairman or... No. Who? One person needs to be appointed to see the whole thing through. It may be the chairman, but one person. Please don't triangulate these kinds of things. With multiple people trying to help this teacher, and the teacher doesn't know where his help cometh from. It comes from the Lord, but he's pretty sure there's other people that are trying to help, and he doesn't know who he's responsible to. What's going on? Be very clear. One person needs to be the point person. Think about chain of command there. And so the plan includes the issues. We're going to be clear about the issues. We're going to write the issues down. Here's what we want. We're going to talk about the steps that need to be taken. What are we going to do? And so, this teacher has a problem. And the problem is classroom management. And the classroom is actually falling apart. There's spitballs flying, typically. There's paper airplanes being made. It's general chaos. That's what's going on. And so we've talked about class management. We tell teacher A, the issue as we see it is that when you are in front of the classroom, you're trying to demand respect rather than earn respect. And students not responding well to you. And we're having trouble. And you're feeling, yeah, I feel that. They just don't want to do what they tell me. Those parents need to understand how in the world they're supposed to train their children. Red flags. Okay, that's fine. Maybe our parents aren't perfect, but we need to work on classroom management. This thing's going to fall apart before the end of the year if we don't do something. And so I want to help you. I want to help you get there. Now we're going to work on the steps. And I like when the steps to be taken can actually include the teacher. What do you need to grow? The board has some ideas about what they want. Here are things that they could do. And maybe that teacher also has ideas. Well, I feel so frustrated because I don't know what to do in these four kinds of situations, and they come up almost every day. And I feel like I blow those all the time. Maybe it's going visiting another school for 2 or 3 days. There's a school right now they're planning to send a lower elementary teacher to another school to observe for 2 or 3 days for classroom management ideas as part of the plan. To get ideas and to have these ongoing discussions with that teacher, the homeroom teacher and this struggling teacher, here's how I do it. And the questions are, well, how do you do it? And that's part of the plan. That's part of the redemptive plan forward. So there's all kinds of ways to address it. And the Lord will give you, since you have the Holy Spirit too, ideas. And you might ask other board members who've been in similar situations, what did you do? But we're going to want to be clear about the steps. Here's the way we're going to do this. And then here is the timing. We'd like you to visit another school in the next 3 weeks. And let's talk about which one, okay? And we'll contact that school. Okay, now that's settled. After you get back, I want you to create a classroom management plan. And it's our fault we didn't ask you for this before you started school. But let's get a plan together. Do you want help with that? Oh, I don't even know where to start. Good, I'll help you. We'll sit down. Let's spend an evening together. And we'll get together, we'll eat supper first, relationship. We'll go out to eat, and then we're going to talk. And we're going to create a plan together, a class management plan. Okay, so now you've got timing. We want this to happen like this, in this kind of time. Now, work with people so it is not that beautiful and perfect. And timing works beautifully and perfectly, please. But You need a sense of timing, I think, when you're dealing with problems. And then you have to discuss what happens when steps aren't met. What do we do? Oh, he didn't. Well, she went to the school and visited, but I couldn't get a meeting to do the classroom management plan to help really think about some things. Okay, now we have to ask yourself why. Because she was afraid. She was afraid she'd get fired. There's lots of reasons why maybe there was, well, there might be more than meets the eye, right? So we don't really know, but we're going to find that out. And that may actually be a problem. The board is asking you to meet. If you can't meet, then we have to talk about the future. But we want to help you. It's a posture of redemptive paths forward. It is not a posture of get it perfect or you're out of here. That is two different things I'm calling for, walk on step, but also what happens when steps aren't met. So you're gonna lay out the plan. Now we have to follow through on it. And again, who is responsible to follow through? Who is seeing this through from start to finish? Who does the check-ins? I think you need regular check-ins. The board, the party responsible, the person responsible, the who, needs relationship with that teacher, needs to be trust built, and check-ins that are identified ahead of time. Okay, when I deal with a teacher problem, and then I start coming by every day to ask how it's going, the teacher starts feeling a little, I don't know what's going on here. So now if I tell that teacher I'm going to check in every day, they're fine. If I just show up and I'm kind of fishing for things, it does not work real well. So we have check-ins according to the plan laid out. And I will tell you, it will cost somebody time. I talked to a brother yesterday in which there is a teacher probably going to be discontinuing his teaching here right after, maybe before Easter or by Easter. It's not going well. And I can tell you right now, this board chairman has 8 weeks ago met with the parents of the group of students this teacher had. It was a respect issue, kind of boiled down to demanding respect. That's probably too simplistic, but we'll keep it there. Met with the parents 8 weeks ago, and then 3 weeks later, met again, 2 weeks later, met again, 2 weeks later, met again. With the parents, trying to help the children, the students, and how are we doing this together? And there was this endless meetings and talking and trying to make it work. I love it, but it costs. A redemptive path forward for a teacher always costs. Someone is going to sacrifice to make that work, but it's beautiful. It's not working out very well. It's a person in their own congregation. Do you think that's dicey? You can all nod. It's dicey. It's not fun. But you know what? The way it's been done, my understanding is there's no bitterness, no hard feelings. There's an understanding that I'm probably not suited for this job. You know what? That's redemptive. That's redemptive. I know he's not teaching, but it's redemptive. Because there aren't ill feelings. There isn't a huge blow up. The school hasn't imploded because of a teacher problem. That's beautiful. That's what I'm talking about. So we have the check-ins. There's a plan, and we check in regularly. And then I just want to say accountability. Accountability is hard. Is it done? Have you done that? Why isn't it done? There needs to be a little bit of feet to the fire in these times. And then when you get through that first part of your plan, it probably means you're going to plan again. That teacher is getting better. She's improving. She's understanding what's happening. And we see growth. And she's doing what we're asking. Good. Phase two. What's the next part of our plan to help her grow? And we take the next ones. This can be a very, very growing, beautiful, beautiful time. All right. Now, just a few things about making personnel decisions. So we have to decide then sometimes, should this teacher be in the school or shouldn't they? I just want to say first, we need eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. We should see firsthand how things are going. A Assume nothing. Don't just take parents' word for it or students' word for it. The old thing, you know, the teachers say, well, if you don't believe everything about me in the classroom, I don't believe everything I hear from the home. And there's actually truth to some of that. It's interesting how reality gets shifted depending on your perspective. And students aren't always the best gauge. We listen to understand what the problems are, but I think we need eyewitness accounts. We need to see ourselves what's happening. That is so helpful. Don't assume. We need to do due diligence. So how are the negatives actually affecting the school? Try to discern what's going on with students, how it's affecting co-teachers, how it's affecting the culture of your school, how it will affect the church in the future. These are all important questions. And so we do due diligence to understand how this teacher is affecting the school. What are the negatives and what are the positives that this teacher brings? And so we do due diligence and give it due process along the way. I'm going to say it again because I said I will beat clarity, and I'm beating it again. Be specific on what is going on that is not working. Even when it includes attitudes, name them. Humbly, but name them. I remember a time with a teacher when I said, I'll be dropping by to evaluate your classroom. And she said, oh, I've been teaching 15 years and no one's ever evaluated my classroom. I don't really want that. I'd be too nervous. And I said, it'll be okay. I just go in, I'll sit there 20, 30 minutes and then we'll talk about after school. And I just don't know. I said, well, it's just the way we do it here. I'm sorry. Well, I just don't know if you don't want to teach, that's okay. But it is kind of how we do it here. And so we will need to do it this way. Okay. I said, I'll give you warning. This is not about next year. It's just helping you know where you're at and helping you grow. And so I went in the classroom. She was a good teacher. Nothing to worry about. And I sat in the back of the classroom, I took notes, and after school, we sat and we talked. At the end, she had tears in her eyes. She said, thank you for evaluating me. No one ever did that for me. Now I know that the hunches I had about my classroom are true, but now I know I need to work on them. You see, teachers are trying. They just need to know where they're at sometimes. They just need to know where they're at. And so the specifics of here are the strengths that you bring, and here are the two areas that are going to catch you. She said, I knew this all my teaching career. But she said, I don't know what to do about it. That's a quote. I don't know what to do about it. Well, no problem. Let's talk about what we can do about that. Let's put together a plan. And we set out for making plans of how to grow in those two areas. Redemptive. You see, I'm running out of time. Making personnel decisions. Act as one. Act as one. Be together. You better be together when you're making decisions about people. You cannot have one person over here saying, I don't know about this, and I don't really agree. Yep, I agree. We should probably let this teacher go. And then the next day they're telling us, I don't really agree with that decision. You say, what? This happens way more frequently than I want to know. Okay, I've heard it personally many times. Where a board member agrees but doesn't really agree inside. And it creates problems. We need to act as one. Redemption. We want growth. We want staff to stay, we want them to grow, but just not at all costs. Our plans always include a way forward. I cannot emphasize that enough. Not everyone should be a teacher. And I'm great with people even trying to teach them, realizing it's not for me. But I'm telling you that everybody wants to grow, and you do too. In your businesses and in your work, you like to grow too. You want to improve, you want to know where you're at. Teachers are no different. We're a little strange maybe, but we're no different than you in that. Church is important. Do what is best for your church in the long haul. Do what is best for your church in the long haul. Mission critical. It can kind of help settle us on what we should, shouldn't do. And then making decisions that are really important. Think about the future of the teacher. If you have to let a teacher go, help them find other meaningful work. Help them transition. Bless them. Be a part of their future. Engage with that and ask them how it's going and meet with them sometimes. And maybe you need to go out for breakfast with that brother I was talking about. Maybe the chairman should go out with that brother for breakfast every other month for the next year just to create that. You see, that is engaging with the problem. It's saying, I love you. It's not a very good fit. It's not working. But I love you. You're my brother. Be a part of the solution. All right, and finally, sometimes this creates problems among co-teachers. When there are issues in a staff member, it often creates problems for co-teachers, students, parents. And I just sometimes when we're working with these situations, we're helping a teacher, I just have a few things quickly that you should think about when having your conversations with teachers while there's stuff kind of floating around. Speak no evil of this teacher. Speak no evil. Believe the best. Be realistic. No one gets from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. Be realistic about your time. Be understanding. Don't take sides. Listen to the frustration, but be careful. You're the adults in the room as the board, and you have to step back and be objective. Be careful about who hears what from whom. Very important, folks. If you're a board member, your chair, whenever you speak, you're speaking as a board member. You better be careful what you say. And in personnel issues, that needs to come through, I think, the chairman person. And be as transparent as necessary with people, but not one bit more. We don't need to hide, but we do not need to air the dirty laundry, folks. Think about you being that teacher. The purpose of growing teachers is to see them flourish so they can teach our children well. It's a big deal. And so we, with truth and love, work with teachers, give them redemptive ways forward. We speak the truth in love because we love the kingdom of God and his church. And by doing that, we're growing and growing and growing his kingdom through the important mission of the school that is carried out by the teachers in your school. God bless you as you work with the people in your school.
Thank you for listening. For additional recordings produced by the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, visit The Dock for Learning at www.thedockforlearning.org.